This week's parasha is Parashas Ekev, Tavshanayin Ches, and we will begin on page 982. Okay, we'll start from towards the bottom of the page, Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, which is about 6-7 lines from the bottom. Ki Hashem Elokecha mevi'achal eretz tova, for Hashem your God is bringing you to a good land, eretz nachalei mayim, a land of streams of water, ayanois usahimais, springs and underground water, geitzim abikovahar, coming forth in the valley and the mountains. Eretz chito sa'ira, a land of wheat and barley, v'gefiru sa'ina v'rimayin, grapes, figs, and pomegranates, eretz eshemen udvash, a land of oil, olives, and date honey, Eretz Ashalim Miskanus Teyach HaBalechem, a land where you will eat bread without poverty. Leisechzar Kolba, you will lack nothing there. Eretz Ashevaneh HaBarizel, a land whose stones are iron. Omeharirat HaChzayim Necheshes, from its mountains you will mine copper. Now, we're on the top of page 984. And this is the pasuk we're going to be focusing on. Yochalta V'Savata, you will eat and will be satisfied. You shall bless Hashem your God on the good land that He has given to you. This pasuk that says if you eat and you're satisfied and you will bless Hashem, what is this? What do we learn from this pasuk? We learn from this pasuk the mitzvah of what we call in Yiddish benching, or what's called berachas hamazon, the blessings after a meal. After you have a meal that satisfies you, the Torah obligates us to bench. The Rabbanan said, gave amounts about when you have to bench or not. But this is the Torah, the idea of benching, the idea of after a meal, blessing Hashem, thanking Hashem after the meal, is a Torah obligation. And this is the source. V'achalta v'savata, you will eat and you'll be satisfied. And then it says, you will bless Hashem your God on the good land that He has given to you. Okay? Now, we know that when it comes to what we call berachas hamazon benching, the Tariq tells us that we have an obligation to bless. The Gemara tells us, and derives this from the words and from the words of the Torah, that we actually have a Torah obligation to make three brachas. Right, the first three brachas of the benching that we do, Hazon es hakol, al aretz v'al hamazon, and Uvnei Yerushalayim, the Gemara in Brachas tells us that these are all, the fact that we have to say three brachas is a Torah obligation. Now, the Torah doesn't tell us what brach exactly to make. It doesn't tell us that, right? It just tells us to make a bracha. So who authored these brachas? Where do these brachas come from? Where did brachas come from? So, the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Memches Amid Beis, the Gemara there says, Amar Rav Nachman said, Moshe Tikein Li Yisrael Berachas Hazon. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who authored the bracha, the first bracha of the benching, Hazon es ha'olam k'lo b'tivai v'chem b'chesed v'rachamim, etc. B'shara sheret ha'lohem ha'man. When the man fell, the Jewish people were given the food, the bread of the desert, that is when Moshe composed the first bracha of the benching. Yoshua tikein lahem berchas ha'aretz. The second bracha, that bracha was tikkun. That bracha was composed by Yoshua when they entered the land. David and Shlomai tiknu b'nei Yerushalayim. David and Shlomai, they instituted the bracha of Bainei Yerushalayim, the third bracha. David tikkun al Yisrael amach v'ashlem irecha. David is the one who composed, who instituted the mentioning of Yisrael, your nation, Yerushalayim, your city, because David already established Yerushalayim. David had, you know, bought Yerushalayim to be the city of the Beis HaMikdash. Ushleimai tiken ala bayis hagadol v'hakadosh. And Shleimai Melech was the one who brought into, who instituted saying on the great and holy house. Because David HaMelech didn't have the house, and now the Beis HaMikdash, Shleimai HaMelech did. Hatoy v'hametiv, the fourth bracha that we call Hatoy v'hametiv, where we say, it's called Hatoy v'hametiv, the one who is good and who does good. B'yavne teknua, that was instituted in Yavne, where the Chachamim were. K'neged haruge beitar, and they instituted that bracha corresponding to the event of what happened to those killed in the city of Beitar. Margitan tells us that after the destruction of Second Beis HaMikdash, there was also a great city called Beitar that the inhabitants were slaughtered by the Romans. And the Gemara says that Ateva HaMetiv is actually coming to commemorate something positive that happened with those who were killed in Beitar, as the Gemara says. The Amar Rav Masna, as Rav Masna said, on the day that those killed in Beitar were able to be buried, because originally the Romans didn't let them in. Eventually they got in, and the Gemara says they found that their bodies had not decayed, and they were able to give them burial. So on the day that they were able to be, that they were brought to burial, Tiknu b'Yavne, in Yavne they instituted Hatoy v'Hametiv. The brach of Hatoy v'Hametiv. We mentioned Hashem is good, and what He does is good. Hatoyv shelo hisrichu. They talked about Hashem as the Toiv, as the good one, over the fact that the bodies did not decay. V'Hametiv, and who does good, shenitnu l'kvura, that they were given, that they were able to be brought to burial. So this is where the Gemara tells us that who instituted what. The thing is, though, as I mentioned before, the Gemara says that the first three brachas are all Torah obligations. Now, there should be an obvious question. If they're a Torah obligation, right, then, okay, we can understand that Moshe should institute the first bracha, right? He instituted when the mun fell. The mun actually fell before the Torah was given. And then once the Torah was given, right, that bracha that he instituted became the first bracha of the benching. But if the Gemara says that the second bracha was composed by, instituted by Yeshua, and the third one by David and Shlomo, well, what happened before that? What happened until then? What happened to benching until then? What did they do until then? What did they do? It says that Yeshua instituted it. So what did they do before that? Did Yeshua institute it? Did he not? If he instituted it later, what were they doing before? And we're saying it's a Torah obligation to have all three. So how do we put these two things together? So there is a very interesting Alshich, and I forgot to bring a copy of it, but the Alshich basically assumes, if we take a look in the benching, right? Let's take a look in the benching. He's never supposed to have benching. Oh, here it is. Okay. So let's take the second bracha. How do the words go? The words go, Noide lacha Hashem Elokeinu, we give thanks to you, Hashem our God, al shenchalta la'avoseinu, that you gave over to possess, you gave over as an inheritance, you gave over as a possession, la'avoseinu, to our fathers, eretz chemda tovu urachava, a land that is chemda, desirable, good, and wide, and big, and large, and wide spaced. That's the first thing we say. Falshet say, son to Hashem Elokeinu Meretz Mitzrayim. You took us out of Egypt. Ufti Yisrael Beis Avodim. You redeemed us from the house of bondage. Falbrischa Shechasamti Bebisareinu, the bris that's in our flesh. Falterascha Shulimanatanu, the Torah that you taught us. Falchukecha Sheidatanu, and your laws that you made known to us. Valchayim Chayin V'Chesed Shechayinantanu, and for the life and gracious and kindness that you bestow upon us. Valachilas Mazon She'atazon, and for the food that you supply us. Befaras Asanu Tamid, and sustain us always. V'chol yomah, v'chol leisa, v'chol sha'ah, at all days, at all times, and in all hours. Now, the very first thing that we mentioned in the bracha, we don't say, al shenchalta lanu, eretz chamda tevu rechava. We don't say that you gave us, you say that you gave to our fathers. When it comes to everything else, it's, you took us out, you redeemed us, you put your covenant in our flesh. Everything else is about us, but the first thing is not about us. It's about our forefathers. Why? Why isn't it about us? Didn't we get the land? So why isn't it say Al Shen Chalta Lanu, like it says everything else?
After they were conquering it.
Excuse me?
After it was conquered.
Yeah. So.
What you, Yeshua was conquering the land.
Right.
When Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were there, God gave it to us, but we were just...
So you're saying because
dwelling there at the time.
So you're saying because Yeshua instituted when they first entered the land, so therefore you couldn't say that you gave us because they didn't really have it yet? Is that what you're saying?
They didn't have it all. They were just conquering it.
So you're saying because they didn't have full possession of it yet? Okay, that's an interesting thought. Didn't think about that. The Alshech says that Yeshua would never have written Al Shin Chalta Laviseinu. Yeshua would have said Al Shin Chalta Lanu.
Yes.
That's what he would have said. He's assuming, the Alshech, that the reason why it says Al Shin Chalta Laviseinu is because, my understanding is, because we're not there anymore. The reason we can talk about, we were taken out of Egypt. Yes, we were. We have a bris. We have Torah. We have life. We have food. But we can't talk about, we have the land, right? When we lost the land and we don't have it fully back yet. That's my understanding. Unless he meant something else. Unless he meant more, because something more direct, but about, because he was actually conquering, actually taking it. But my understanding of the Alshech was, the Alshech said Yeshua wouldn't have said Alshech Chatalav, he would have said Alshech Chatalanu. He would have said what you gave us. We're saying it because of the fact that we don't have it anymore. And the Alshech actually, you know, mentions this in the Psukim, because the Psukim read, that we read from the on the top of the, page 984 of Achalta V'Savata, you'll eat and you'll be satisfied. Uveirachtas Hashem Elokecha, you'll bless Hashem your God on the good land that He gives you. And right after that it says, Hishamer Lecha, watch yourself. Pentishkachas Hashem Elokecha, lest you forget Hashem your God. Leviltishma mitzvaysev mitzvaysev chukaysev, to not to guard, and lest you become, you know, basically lest you become very rich, and you forget Hashem, and you forget how He took you out. And basically, eventually, it says if you lead, if it comes to the point of idol worship, Hashem says I'm gonna throw you out of the land. But it all actually starts from the fact that, you know, they've had this, all this blessing, that this blessing get to their head, and because of that they rebel. So the achalta v'smata ve'racht Hashem aleikecha, you shall bless Hashem your God on the land that He gave you, right, and guard yourself that you don't forget about Hashem. So that you don't land up having to make the bracha like we do now. It's like bless Hashem in the way you're supposed to bless Hashem. Bless Hashem as Yeshua blessed Hashem when He made the bracha and He said, we thank you for giving us the land. And you should remember, you should make sure not to forget Hashem, always to recognize and remember what He did for you, not to rebel against Him, because then you know what you're going to have to do with the bracha? You're going to have to change it. You're going to have to change it as we do. Okay? So what the Alshech seems to be alluding to, which could answer some of our questions, which I think some of the Mefarshim do learn, and that is, okay, let's ask the question a little bit. So we had a question. No, actually, a different question. It would seem like, for instance, the third Baracha, right? What do we say? We say, Rachim Hashem Elokeinu, Al Yisrael Amecha, right. Then we say and we end up Uvenei Yerushalayim HaKadosh from Hayra V'Yameinu, right? So we're clearly alluding to in this blessing about rebuilding Yerushalayim, right? How do we end off? We say, Uvener Yerushalayim Rakedesh from Heir of Yemenun, right? We end off with that. Now, when David composed that bracha, did he say, Uvener Yerushalayim Rakedesh from Heir of Yemenun?
No, I don't think so.
Right? So, I mean, and again, even the Rachem, like, what does Rachem mean? When David HaMelech had Yerushalayim, he asked for Rachem, Rachmanis for Yerushalayim. When Shlomo HaMelech, he asked Rachmanis for Yerushalayim. Again, maybe he did. Maybe Rachem just means, you know, have continued mercy. But I always thought that Rachem also relates to what happens at the end about the idea of having Rachmanis, bring it back. And therefore, I've always understood, and I do believe that some of Farshim learn, that actually, when David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech made the third bracha about Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't mention Uvene Yerushalayim. They didn't mention build Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was built. But rather, what they were saying was, but rather, later on, when things changed, when David and Shlomo made the bracha about Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, it was about Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. It was thanking Hashem for Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Then, after we lost the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, then the bracha changed. Then the bracha changed into a different, it took on a different form. Okay, when Yoshua made the bracha, he said, Al Shincha Tolanu. We thank Hashem for giving us the land, not our fathers, us. It's just at a later point of time, when we didn't have the land anymore, what became now, the text was changed. It was changed to Laveisenu, to our fathers. So basically, in the very least, we have here at least a possible, you know, a concept that the brachas may have originally been composed in one form, but when things had to be changed about it, the brachas were changed. That's what it would seem. Now, you know, so now again, what are we going to say about the fact that Moshe, we say Moshe instituted the first bracha, Yeshua instituted the second bracha. So what did they do before Yeshua? What bracha did they say then? Bracha did they say then? So it would be possible to say that actually Moshe, it's hard to know how we would say this. To go ahead and say somehow that Moshe instituted, actually Moshe wrote all three. Right? Moshe wrote all three. And they were all, and when the Gemara says Yeshua Tikain, right? Yeshua Tikain, the second bracha, which I don't know if it works into the world words so well, but when it says when it says Yeshua Tikain Lahem Berchas Haaretz, B'shah Shenichlesu La'aretz, right? That means that Yeshua basically fixed it over that it should be, so to speak, contemporary. When Moshe Rabbeinu made the second bracha about the land, the second bracha was a bracha about being given the land, right? We thank you, Hashem, for the promise you gave us to give the land. The promise that you gave the land to our, maybe even said to our forefathers. Who said no? Because they did. Maybe at that point there was, you know, it was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov's land at one point. We know that. It was, many of the say, was already given to them, actually. But it could very well be that you know, when the Gemara says, I don't know if it fits into the wording of the Gemara so well, but when the Gemara says Yeshua Tikain, it means Yeshua fixed it. Yeshua made it contemporary. Meaning, Moshe, when he made the second bracha about Eretz Yisrael, it was about the Eretz Yisrael that we'll get in the future. While Yeshua, once they came, he changed the wording to about, yeah, we got it. That we got it. And then we, when we lost it, changed it back, changed it to Shinchalta Laveisenu. But the point was, it was Shinchalta, it's in a past tense, it happened. It could be that by Moshe, it was in a future tense, and then Yeshua had to fix it over. And then it could be the third bracha. I don't know exactly what to do with the third bracha. You know, I'm not sure exactly what to do with the third bracha according to this approach. But again, perhaps Moshe wrote a third bracha that had again to do with the future, right? We knew. It's not like there was no secret there was going to be a Beis HaMikdash, right? There was going to be a Yerushalayim. Maybe there also. Moshe went ahead and his third bracha was a third bracha that again talked about a future Yerushalayim and a future Beis HaMikdash, and David and Shlomo turned it more contemporary, turned it into, yeah, the one that we had, and then we have, and then it had to become the one that we had. So perhaps over time, these things have to take on some different forms.
There's something that throughout the centuries that they had to change some of the wording in the baruchas and the davening because of the goyim.
Well, that's something else. That's a totally different idea. First of all, they didn't change brachas. I don't know if they changed any brachas. Here we're talking about brachas. Yeah. Right? They didn't change brachas. You know, Aleinu they took out a sentence, right?
So
but again,
it's been changed.
Yeah, but when you're talking about changing the actual brachas, you know, again, it can be a difference in tradition. You know, again, maybe there are certain additions, but this concept, what we're discussing now is, you know, three brachas that are supposed to be all Torah obligations, and how are they supposed to fit into what the Gemara says that they were composed in different ways. Well, we can borrow the Alshach's idea, or the Alshach seemed to say that there was a change in the wording of Deidelecha, and to say that what the Gemara means that the wording doesn't fit so well because Moshe Tikein LeYisrael Berchas Hazan seems to sound like Moshe made that bracha. According to this, the idea would be Moshe made all the brachas, just that they were kind of fixed over time. Now again, the Alshach doesn't say that. The Alshach doesn't say what I just said about all three brachas. He just says Yeshua didn't say that. Yeshua said a little differently. But there is this concept that he seems to be saying, he seems to be alluding to the fact that there is a concept at least of changing the brachas. Can we go ahead and take it as far as learning in the Gemara that Moshe made all three and then they fixed it? I don't know. It doesn't sound so good in the Gemara itself, in the wording of the Gemara. Now, what's really interesting is that the Chazon Ish dealt with this question. The Chazon Ish in his Sefer dealt with this question, and he writes like this: Kasar Rishonim Zal, the Rishonim write, the Gam Kaidim Shenechnesu La'eretz Hayim Mavarchin Berchas Aretz. Even before they enter the land, they said the bracha over the land. I mean, you have three brachas that are Daraisa. Then what were those three brachas? What did they do? So he says the Rishonim say that before they enter the land, they made a blessing over the land. V'tzarech loimar, delekach leitikin lehem Moshe matbeah berchas haaretz. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, we have to say that Moshe composed a text for the first bracha. That we know. Moshe tikin berchas hazan. That means the first bracha of the benching, Moshe composed it. He composed it. But says the Chazon Ish, although the Rishonim say that they did make, even before they entered the land of Israel, they made a bracha over the land, but from the Gemara, it's pretty clear, from the wording of the Gemara, Moshe didn't, it doesn't say Moshe made that bracha. It just said he made the bracha hazan, it didn't make the bracha over the land, Yeshua did. So what does it mean, but they still had a bracha. So he starts up saying, Moshe did not compose the text for the second bracha, because Moshe knew that after the land would be conquered, it's going to change. The wording is going to change. Because once they get the land, they have to thank Hashem for getting the land. So what kind of bracha were they making over the land before they entered it? Says the Chazon Ish, very interestingly, the blessing over the land, you know who composed it before Yeshua? Nobody composed it. You made a bracha over the land, and you made a bracha over the land, and you made a bracha over the land, all on your own. You would just thank Hashem for the land that Hashem promised. But there was no standard text. You just made up your own bracha. Every person thanked Hashem in their own way. Once the land was conquered, then Yeshua went and created a standard text that everybody has to do.
When did they make the bracha?
When they benched, when they ate.
No, this is all talking about benching.
This is all talking about benching. V'chein, birchas Yerushalayim, so too the blessing of Yerushalayim. Hayu oimrim oisa kaidem kiddush Yerushalayim. They said it before Yerushalayim was designated. Elo shebishvil shayitza tzricha lishtanais. But just that being that it was necessary to change it, like Kavah Yeshua. Yeshua didn't make a standard, didn't make a text for it. Yeah, they spoke about a future Yerushalayim, a future sanctification of this city Yerushalayim, but there was no bracha that was composed for it, because it was going to change. But then he says, "Aval ein loymer de loylam kava meisher lekulam elashenishtano ida Yeshua v'david shloimei." He says, "Don't say what we just said before, that maybe Moshe set up all the brachas, just that they were changed through Yeshua and David and Shloimei." The imkain gambirchas Yerushalayim nishtansa achar shenachreva, because if so, also the blessing of Yerushalayim changed after it was destroyed. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what he means to say. He seems to be asking a problem that if you want to suggest that Moshe composed all the brachas, right? Just that, like we said before, Yeshua changed it when things changed, and David and Shlomo changed when things changed. That means Moshe composed it, but then Yeshua changed it, and David and Shlomo changed it. Because then, if so, he says, you have to say, as the Rishonim do say, Gam Birchas Yerushalayim Nishtansa Achas Shenechreva. The bracha of Yerushalayim changed after it was destroyed, right? We say, Uvenei Yerushalayim HaKadosh from Heira V'Yameinu, right? That bracha changed. It changed. So he seems to be bothered by the fact that Moshe should compose the third bracha, and that it should be changed after it got destroyed. I don't know why. I'm not sure what these words mean. I don't know what he means. He seems to be troubled by the fact that for Yeshua to change it when they conquer the land, right? Moshe spoke in the future. So for Yeshua to change it, and Moshe was in the future, so Yeshua made it more present, and David and Shlomo made it more present. All right. But what bothers him then is, but what are you going to do with the fact that Yerushalayim was changed after it was destroyed? Why not? After it was destroyed, it was changed.
They started setting up in Yavna. They started setting up.
Those were new brachas they started setting up.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah, right. So what's bothering about changing it? This is what I don't know. I don't know these words. He says these words. I really don't know what he means. If so, you'll have to say that it changed. But Srichen Laimar, Shemetchila Kaidim Shenivnis Yerushalayim, you have to say that before Yerushalayim was built, Hayu Mevakshin Al Binyan Beis HaBechira, you know what they asked for? They asked for the chance to build the Beis HaMikdash. Inami, Kvar Yadu Ki Yerushalayim Hi Hanachla Shekvar Niskach Mimais Avram Avinu Al HaShalom. They already knew Yerushalayim was already sanctified by Avram Avinu, Shuhu Bahara Maria, and they were talking about that. They were talking about Yerushalayim in that sense. So again, it's he seems to be saying that what's happening here, the way he's learning is that not that Moshe created all three, it's just that they were more and more contemporary by the other ones. He doesn't want to learn that. There's that one line I read to you. I don't really know what that line means, but he doesn't want to learn that Moshe made all three brachas, and just that they were updated by Yeshua, by David and Shlomo. He doesn't want to learn that way. I can understand it because I don't know if it fits so well into the Gemara's wording. But he had a different problem. So at the end, what does he learn? He learns that what happened originally was that Moshe, that there were things you had to make a bracha on. When you benching is part of three brachas. The three brachas are part of the Daraisa obligation. That means, therefore, as says the Rishonim say, they made a bracha over the land before they came into the land. They made a bracha over Yerushalayim before they had Yerushalayim. And those brachas before those brachas, Moshe Rabbeinu. So, but those brachas, because they didn't happen yet, never were not given a standard text until they actually came into reality. The first bracha, which is about sustenance, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that. That was about the man. But Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu says the Chazon Ish didn't want to write, didn't want to compose a standard bracha for Eretz Yisrael because it was going to change. He didn't want to go ahead and so therefore, until Yeshua came along and actually conquered Eretz Yisrael, everybody made a bracha over Eretz Yisrael, their own bracha. Made their own bracha, they thanked Hashem in their own way. Once Yeshua conquered the land, he created a standard text that everybody had to keep to. And then, and until Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, they talked about either they knew there would be a Beis HaMikdash, they thanked, they made a bracha over the future Beis HaMikdash, doesn't make a difference. He's saying, according to that, you'd have to say that eventually, that originally it was about Beis HaMikdash, wherever it would be. They didn't know where. So what did they do? But they knew about the Beis HaMikdash. So they gave him, they made a bracha over the future Beis HaMikdash, about the future Beis HaMikdash. Or he says, they made a bracha over Yerushalayim because they did know about Yerushalayim already. That already they knew from Avraham Avinu about Yerushalayim, Har HaMoriah. They already knew about Har HaMoriah.
But he didn't. It also says in the Torah, I'll show you in a place where I'll tell you.
Fine, but that still doesn't mean they didn't know Yerushalayim.
But no.
I have a good point. I don't know what that means, but he brings down this source that
didn't mean Munsi. It didn't mean, you know, where.
Fine. So I don't. It says you're right. It doesn't say the place exactly, but he's bringing it down here that they already had a tradition about Kirushalayim. I'm assuming that means Inami Kvar Yadu Kirushalayim Hi Hanachla Shekvar Niskachmeis Avraham Avinu Shuhar Maria. That's what he says. I don't know what to do with that pasuk. It's an interesting point you're making. But he say they already knew about that, so they could talk about Yerushalayim too. They could talk about the future Yerushalayim. But that's how the Chazon Ish learns. Very interesting. That it wasn't about a bracha that they actually, that point, they had to make a bracha. It's a deraisa. Each one made their own bracha until it became a standard text. Okay. I want to share with you now an interesting explanation, an interesting thought.
The fourth bracha, Tov HaMeitiv.
That's all the Rabbanan.
I know, but that happened
later, much later.
I think 70 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. I don't know.
This happened in the second Beis HaMikdash.
It's the time of Rabbi Akiva.
It could be. But it's not. That's a completely the Rabbanan mitzvah. Yeah, no one says that's a deraisa. That's completely the Rabbanan. Okay. Another interesting. Now, the Chassam Sefer says an interest. I want to share with you an interesting thought from him, and his thought is really going to help us with a different question. Okay. Now, the Chassam Sefer is focusing on, as we mentioned, that the pasuk says, "You'll eat, you'll be satisfied, you'll bless Hashem your God on the land that He gives you." Then right after it says, guard yourself lest you forget Hashem your God. So first we have a pasuk about you'll eat, you'll be satisfied, and you'll bless. Then the pasuk says, guard yourself, don't forget. So you kind of think the continuity is make a bracha and don't forget to make a bracha. That's what it sounds like. Make a bracha and don't forget to make a bracha. Because if you do, it's going to lead into big problems. Okay? It doesn't really talk about specifically that. It talks about after you're eating, you're satisfied, you're blessing Hashem, guard yourself lest you forget Hashem, your God, not to keep His mitzvahs that I'm commanding you. It would seem like it's part of what the future pasuk going to say about getting fat and lazy and forgetting Hashem because of that. Okay, but the Chassam Sefer makes a connection between the two things, and he says like this: Yireh ki harei anu mevarchem berachas hamazon. We're benching. We're thanking Hashem for the food. Umaskirin bris v'tayra v'chukecha sheidatanu. And we mention bris mila, tayra, mitzvahs. There's a question, right? Did it ever bother you when you're benching, right? We know the Gemara says that when you bench, you have to mention the bris mila. And you have to mention tayra. And you have to mention mitzvahs. And you have to mention the land. But what's it got to do with benching? Why are we mentioning that here while we're benching? Benching is about food. We're thanking Hashem for food. Why, when we thank Hashem for food, do we also have to thank Him for bris mila, for Torah, for mitzvahs, for the land of Israel? The land of Israel, okay, that's, you know, that goes together with the food. But what about bris and Torah mitzvahs? Why is that being mentioned here with food? Thank Hashem for food, talk about food. Why are you talking about the other things? So he says, the reason why we're mentioning all these other things is kizula zeh, because if not for this, meaning if not for these things, eiroi levarach al hamazon, it's not appropriate to thank Hashem for food. K'ma betza b'kiyam aguf ha'ochor hazeh. What is the point of the sustenance of this dull and mundane body? Ve'eino achila v'chala noas ha'ilam hazeh kadoyim levarach Hashem yisbarach aleihem. And all the pleasures of this world, he says, are not worth thanking Hashem. If it's there for the purpose of serving Hashem, right, then it makes sense to thank Hashem for it. But a person who makes the eating the main thing, umavarech rak alo achila greda, and all he does is thank Hashem for the eating alone, he's going to come make this world into a very important thing. He'll be drawn after it. At the end, he'll forget God and stray away. There. So what's he saying? He's saying that, you know, even when it comes to thanking Hashem for your food, right? But if you're thanking Hashem for your food because, oh, that really felt good. Oh, that was really good, right? That's what you're thanking Hashem for making you feel, fulfilling your stomach, for just making you feel good. That's not what you should be thanking Hashem for. But you're thanking Hashem for the fact that He gave you these things so that you can serve Him, right? And the fact that it tastes good makes it easier to do. The fact that it tastes good, right, makes it easier to do all these things. It makes it enjoyable to do these things. You know, people who don't enjoy their food, they have a hard time eating. People are never sick and they have no appetite. They have a hard time eating. You can go ahead and tell them, eat so you'll be healthy. That's never what you have to fight with a sick person about. But so we can appreciate that Hashem makes it enjoyable for us. But the point is, says the Chassam Sefer, that when you're thanking Hashem for the food, you know why we're mentioning all these things? We're reminding ourselves that we're not just thanking Hashem for the food for the sake of having food. We're thanking Hashem for giving us the food so that we could fulfill His bris, His special covenant with us, that we can study His Torah, we can do His mitzvahs, we can live in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he says, so that's why all these things are mentioned. All these things are mentioned because they're keeping our focus on what eating is about. And what does he say? Alkein, Omar, v'yachalte v'savate v'yirachtos Hashem aloikach l'aretz ha'teva levad, v'loy alkim mitzvayseh, Hashem alocham pentishkach. So he says an interesting thing in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, you'll eat and you'll be satisfied and you'll thank Hashem for the good land that He's given you. How about thanking Him for the bris? What happened to thanking Him for the Torah? What happened to thanking Him for Yetzias Mitzrayim? Oh, that's not mentioned here. So what are you only thanking Hashem for? The food and the land. Ah, Hishamar Lacham Pintishkach. You better be careful, lest you forget. Because if all you talk about, because when you thank Hashem, all you thank Hashem for is the good land, is the fact that I have sustenance. If that's all you're going and thanking Him for, even if you're thanking Him for that, you're thanking Him. But that's the only thing you're thanking Him for. Hishamar Lachem Pentishkach. Watch yourself. You may forget. You may land up forgetting Hashem. Because if all you think about as the goal of the eating is a goal unto itself, and you can thank Hashem for it. But if that's what you think is the goal, then that is already, that's trouble. That could lead you off. That could lead you to forgetting Hashem.
When you see a movie and people are eating, no one's making a bracha.
Therefore?
you look at it, you say, jeebus, you know.
Why, they made hametzi before.
No, they didn't even wash.
They made hametzi.
You also say, you're thanking Him for all the eating, so it gives you the strength
That's the point. That's exactly what the Chassam Sefer is saying. Yeah. And with that he answers the question as to why we bother mentioning all these things in the benching. Why are they coming in here for? The answer they're coming in here for because this is what we're thanking Hashem for. We thank Hashem, and we actually thank Hashem for these things first. First, we thank Hashem for giving us the land, right? Don't talk about the food. We talk about the land. We talk about bris and Torah learning and mitzvahs, right? And then we talk about food. Because the stress should be, thank you, Hashem, for giving us the ability to serve you and the food with which we can serve you, which enables us to do that service to you. That's how the Chassam Sefer is learning. That's a very, very interesting, very, very interesting part.
Some people live to eat, and the other people eat to live.
And most of us, you know, whatever it is that we do for most of the time, but we should try to remind ourselves sometimes, you know, why what we should be doing it for. All right. One other thing I want to mention to you about this question. Yeah, about this question. And I heard this is an explanation that was given by Rabbi Victor Miller about answering this question, why do we mention all these things, all these other things here? So Rabbi Miller said that, you know, we're always supposed to feel gratitude to Hashem, right? Supposed to feel gratitude to Hashem for everything that He gives us, right? But, you know, feeling gratitude is not such an easy thing to do. It's not so easy, especially if you're used to it and you expect it, right? It's not so easy to do. All right, well, we have davening that does that. You know, davening helps us, davening focuses us and reminds us to feel gratitude. But again, sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard to feel the gratitude when you have to, you know, when you're just reminding yourself and repeating it. Okay, it's worth something, but it doesn't necessarily get to where you should really be feeling the gratitude. But if, let's say, you actually experience something, you experience something positive, and you actually are feeling, right, you're feeling very positive, right? You're benefiting from something directly, you're feeling the benefit. You know, at that point of time, you can really feel gratitude, because when you're actually benefiting from what you're receiving, you can really feel gratitude for that, right? So what a person should try to do is that when they're actually feeling, when they're actually able, when it's actually easy to feel gratitude, take that feeling and don't just keep it in one place. Spread it. Transfer it to other things. When you're feeling really good because you just had a good meal, and because of that, you're thanking Hashem for the good meal because it's something that you feel right now. You feel the benefit. When you feel the benefit, that is when you can bring out the feelings of gratitude. Well, once you already have those feelings of gratitude, so to speak, you know, churning, right? Now take it and use it towards the other things that you don't always have that opportunity to do it for, right? Take that feeling of strong gratitude for the food that you just benefited from and thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, for the bris, for Torah, for mitzvahs. It's your chance, so to speak, to capitalize, right, on strong feelings of gratitude and now channel them and use them in other ways. There's a fascinating tour at the end of Hilchas Yontif. And the tour there says that if you experience simcha, like Yontif, experience simcha, right? If you experience simcha, you should think and say to yourself, if this is what my simcha feels like in this world, can you imagine what it's going to be like, what the joy of Olam Haba is going to be? That's what the Torah says you should do. Whenever you have a simcha, you should think to yourself, if this is what simcha feels in this world, who can imagine what's going to be like in the next world? That's an example of taking an actual experience, right? And now trying to take that experience and apply it to something that you can't experience because you have no idea what it is. But you take from your own experiences that you have and you try to use that to imagine on a greater level what's going to be somewhere else. But the point there is also, you're taking an actual experience and now trying to use it and channel it towards another experience. That's what Rabbi Miller said here is happening by benching. Benching is something when we eat, we feel good. And that's really a very strong time to feel gratitude. Well, once you've got the gratitude churning for your food, take it and now use it for the other things that you should be thanking Hashem for, that you don't always have that kind of same feeling and chance to thank Hashem for it. Therefore, that was his explanation about why Chazal put in these other things also into the benching.